Good morning. Next week we begin our preacher's camp. Always an exciting time, at least for me. I enjoy it a great deal to be with young men that are interested in preaching God's Word. It's always exciting to be with Stephen Guy and to have time to sit at his feet. I think I benefit as much as the young men from being near Stephen Guy for several days and able to learn and to listen to him. But also we have five young men that are interested in learning how to preach sermons, to prepare sermons, and I'm excited about that. We have four from the congregation here and one from another congregation, but if you are here, young men, and you do still want to do that, it's not too late. I'll still take any applications that come my way. We want all the young men that we can possibly get. I do want to thank all of you as well. Jeannie said that she was out there 1 week, and everybody took all the needs, all the food needs that we had, and appreciate that. And so thankful to you for your willingness to participate and to help in that effort. Proverbs chapter 10, in verse 9, the wise man says, "He who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will be found out." You know, one time there was a man in the hospital, and he was a wealthy businessman, and he was very, very sick. In fact, there was a real possibility that he might not make it. And the preacher came to see him, and he said, "Preacher, I want you to pray for me." He said, "And if you pray for me and I get well, I'm going to give the church $1 million. And so the preacher prayed with him, and believe it or not, he started getting better after that. And he slowly got better, and his health got better, and he got to go home from the hospital, and everything was just fine. About a month went by, and the preacher stopped by his office, and he said, "You know, I was just wondering when you were going to give that $1 million to the church that you said, well, if I prayed with you and you got well, you'd give $1 million to church." He said, "Did I say that?" Boy, that just shows you how sick I was, right? You know, it's kind of amazing that our integrity sometimes seems to fail us when everything is going our direction, doesn't it? Matthew chapter 5, verse 37, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "But let your statements be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of the evil one." When you give your word, keep your word. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. You don't need any other kind of vow, do you? It's just your word. It's what you say. We don't need "I promise." We don't need "I cross my heart." Oops, I cross my fingers too, right? We don't need "I swear by this or that." We don't need, certainly don't need, "or may God strike me dead." We just need a yes. We just need a no. We just need what we say. Integrity is fundamental. When you say you will do something, do it. If you promise God something, keep that promise. In John chapter 8, beginning with verse 44, Jesus says, "You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. And whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Notice what Jesus says here first. He says he was a murderer from the beginning. Well, how is that? Because there in the very beginning with Adam and Eve, there in the Garden of Eden at that tree, he told Eve, he lied to Eve, did he not? "For in the day that you eat of it, you shall not surely die." A direct contradiction to the truth of what God said. He lied to her. And they died, didn't they? He murdered them spiritually. He murdered them spiritually. And the tool in which that he used to bring about that murder, the murder weapon, so to speak, was a lie. He was a murderer from the beginning. And it began there with Adam and Eve, and he has killed so many of God's people. In fact, Satan set forth from the very beginning to kill God's people with his lies. And people still die every day as a result of what he does. But Jesus says there is no truth in him. Let me tell you, if the devil speaks, he is, even if he may say a truth like he does in the temptations of Jesus Christ, I guarantee you he's trying to use that to make you believe a lie. He said because when he speaks from his nature, and his nature is lying, isn't it? And the things that come forth from his mouth are lies. Integrity is important to God. What does that tell you? What does that tell you about a person who does not keep, who consistently does not keep their promises? What does that tell you about a person who consistently tells untruths? What tells you who their father is? God says that such people are of their father, the devil. That's what Jesus told the Jews on this particular day. And you know, even if you call yourself a child of God, see now, when Jesus says what he says there in John chapter 8, the Jews have been constantly saying to him there, well, we're children of Abraham. He says, well, if you're children of Abraham, do as Abraham did. Oh, we're children of God. But Jesus said, no, I know who your father is. It doesn't matter what you say, who you say is your father. The reality is your father is who you are, which one you follow. So you can say you're a child of God, but if you go out there and you tell lies and you do not keep your promises, your father is not God. Because God cannot lie according to the book of Hebrews. But the devil is the father of lies. You're doing as your father. That's what it tells us about this. This is an incredibly important concept to God. God intends for us to keep the promises we make. He intends for us to do what we say we'll do. Do what we need to do. See, I got a dollar bill here. It's not very pretty. It's even kind of torn on the edge here. And it's all kind of crinkly and dirty. And even if I do this right here, right? Wad it all up. I could even tear a few more corners off, couldn't I? How much is it worth? It's still worth 100 pennies, isn't it? No matter what shape this dollar bill is in, I can't even get it undone again. No matter what shape this dollar bill is in, it's still worth 100 pennies. Because its value is not in how it looks on the outside. Its value is intrinsic, isn't it? And my friends, it's not how you look that is important to God. It is who you are. It is what you do. It is not about what other people see when they see how you are dressed. If you're dressed all nice, it's your heart. See, God doesn't care about that outside. He cares about the heart. The heart takes care of the outside. But He sees right to the heart. Our value of who we are from within. Integrity is fundamental. It is incredibly important. It does not matter if that integrity costs you everything you have. It does not matter if it leaves a scarred and broken and maybe a little dirty like that dollar bill, right? It does not matter if that happens to us in our lives. We are still valuable when we are people of integrity. I read this week about a girl who was playing for the state golf championship. She was a senior. This was her last chance to be in the state championship of her state in golf. And she hit her ball over into the rough, and she went over and she found it, she hit it out, and she went all the way through and she putted out on that hole, and she started the next one, and she realized that she'd hit the wrong ball out of the rough. No one knows it but her. Now the rules say that you have to declare such a thing before you finish the hole you're on, or you're disqualified. You're out. It's not a stroke penalty. You're out. She walked over and she told him, I hit the wrong ball. And I finished the hole. And she was disqualified. I think she's a champion. regardless of whether she goes to the state, she went to the state championship or not, right? Because she had integrity. And that's what she said. She said, because my parents taught me to be honest. And it wouldn't have been right, wouldn't have been honest if I'd have went ahead and played, because she could have quickly just switched out and gone, right? Nobody'd ever known. She would have. And God would have saw a heart that lacked integrity. But she showed integrity. You know, you have value. You have value with God when you have integrity. No matter how you look on the outside, when you have integrity, God sees you as someone special, especially in a world full of lies, right? Integrity is validated by our words. It is validated by the deeds we do. Mark Twain once said, "It's easier to tell the truth than to tell a lie, because you don't have to remember so much," right? Folks, you tell a lie, you got to remember it, don't you? You got to remember everything about it to keep the lie covered. You tell the truth, you don't have to remember nearly as much, because it just is what it is. It's the truth. It's like the little boy that was in court. I always thought, I've heard this illustration for many years, and I always thought it was some kind of made up by preachers. You know, preachers just make up stories for the fun of it. But I found out this was a real story in Tennessee. Little boy was in court, and the lawyer was asking him questions, and he was trying to trip the young man up. But boy, everything the guy asked, the boy had the answer for, and the lawyer never could get him tripped up. Finally, the lawyer, getting kind of flustered, he said, "Someone's been coaching you, haven't they?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Ah, got him. He's been coached. Who coached you, boy?" He said, "My daddy." He said, "What did your daddy tell you?" He said, "For me to just tell the truth on everything, and that way no crooked lawyer could mess me up." Right? He couldn't mess him up as long as he just stuck to the truth. It's when we get to lying that we have those inconsistencies that we struggle with. There was a preacher recently that went and spoke to another man who was preaching, and that other man said, I don't know what to preach anymore. He said, I look around at the church and I see preachers are changing what they're believing and where they're standing, and they're changing what they're preaching. He said, members are wanting all this and all that, and they're changing where they want to be. Everybody's changing their positions. Everything's different than when I started preaching. I just don't know what to preach anymore. And the older preacher said, "Have you tried preaching Jesus? Preach the truth. Go back to the Scriptures. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. It doesn't change. Try preaching that. Preach the truth, not what other preachers are preaching. Preach the truth, not what your members say you should. Preach the truth, not what's current and popular in society or even in the church. Not the latest fad in the brotherhood or our world. Not what society wants. Preach the truth. And you'll always know what to preach. You'll always know what to say. Preach the Scriptures." Can't go wrong with that. That same preacher was invited to another place to talk to young men who were preaching, and his job was to teach them or to give them a lesson about preaching difficult topics. And there are some difficult topics to preach, and how you go about that. And in the course of the question and answer session, some of the men said, I've preached things I don't really believe because I've been pressured in my congregation to do so." And the old preacher said, "First thing, number one, never preach what you don't believe. Never do it. It's no integrity in preaching what you don't believe. Don't preach what you do not believe. Preach the Scriptures. Preach the truth." How do I know what is true? There are people that I do not believe. I don't care if what they say is completely plausible. I don't care if it makes perfect sense and it sounds just like it should absolutely. I don't believe them. I don't believe them just based on what they say. Why? Because they're liars. I've seen them lie. I know they lie. And I have no reason to believe that they wouldn't have, that they have no problem lying to me. So my first initial reaction is not to believe them. And until something outside of them just saying it proves it, I'm probably not going to believe them. Then there are people, well, before I go there, you know, there was a mother one time who had to deal with a daughter who lied all the time. And it was so hard on her. And one day the mother said to the daughter, she said, "I know when you're lying." And the daughter said, "How do you know when I'm lying?" She said, "Because your mouth's moving." Right? We know people like that, don't we? When their mouth moves, they're speaking a lie. But now there are some people in my life that they can tell me something, and even if I don't think it's plausible, and even if it doesn't seem to really make sense, I'm more inclined to believe them first, right? I'm going to incline, because they've never lied to me that I know of. I've never known them to lie to anybody else. And so my first inclination is to believe them. Even if I think, well, that's a little weird. That's a little off. I'm more inclined to believe what they say. As we start getting revved up in the politics time, I guess you need a politician joke every now and then, right? There's a group of politicians, and they were going to ride together to a big rally. And they were on their way, and they decided to take a shortcut down this little country road, and they lost control on the country road, and they ran off, and they crashed. And this old farmer was out in his field, and he saw the crash, and he came over, and he just went back to his barn, got his backhoe, came out there, dug a hole, threw him in it, and buried him. The state police, when they didn't show up at the rally, state police were like, "Well, let's backtrack." So they backtracked the route that they went, and they found the place where they ran off the road and the wrecked car, and they saw the farmer, and they came over to him and said, "Did you see what happened?" He said, "Yeah, I did." He said, "They were all dead. I buried them right over there in that field." They said, "Are you sure they were all dead?" He said, "Well, a couple of them said they weren't, but you know they were politicians, right? So maybe they were, maybe they weren't. We're not real sure." Sometimes you just cannot trust some people. I want to be a person of integrity. There are synonyms that the Bible uses for integrity. Those synonyms are truth, honesty, uprightness, purity, maturity, completeness. All those words tell us about integrity. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly or handling aright the word of truth." Do what God says. Just do it. Don't just believe it. Do it. And you will be a person of integrity. You will be a person who is doing that which is true and that which is right. James said in James chapter 1, beginning with verse 22, he said, "But prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." You know what James is saying there? Do what we say, right? Do what we say. You promised God. When you were buried in baptism, that very act, you promised God to live for Him. You promised God to give your whole life to Him. You promised God to do whatever He says in any given situation, no matter what it might cost you, no matter what it might do to you. You promised God when you went into that watery grave of baptism, "I'm yours. I die, you live." You promised God. Are you keeping your promise? It's not about breaking your promise to me. It's not about breaking your promise to anyone else. It's about breaking a promise to God. Failing in integrity with God. It should scare us if we are. If you live a life of integrity, you will find yourself maturing. You will find yourself hopeful. You will find yourself directed. You will find yourself protected by the very truth that you live in. If you fail in integrity, you will find yourself shallow. You will find yourself empty. With all the walls of protection that truth provides, they will be gone. And you will live a life always constantly in danger of being exposed for the liar you are. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Everything else, Jesus said, right, is of the evil one, is of the devil. Be people of our word. C.S. Lewis is an interesting man. His life is interesting. His writings are interesting. I read some of his writings in college, Mere Christianity and Screwtape Letters. I read those in college, and I guess at that age, I didn't have any real good appreciation for them, and I'm less off for it. But I have gone back now and started rereading some of the things that he wrote and find them very interesting after 20 years of ministry. And very needful and helpful as I think about teaching others. But C.S. Lewis was a man who believed in keeping his word. In World War I, he was in the trenches, and it was a terrible place to be in the literal trenches of World War I in Europe. C.S. Lewis had a friend there, a good friend there in the trenches with him, and one night this friend confided with him. He said, I'm really worried if something happens to me, what's going to become of my wife and my son? I'm really worried about that. C.S. Lewis promised him that night. He said, I promise you that if something happens to you, I will make sure your wife and your son are taken care of. And that man didn't make it home. He died there on the battlefields. C.S. Lewis went back home and he helped financially in any way that he could that man's wife and his son. And his wife, that man's wife, hated him. Treated him with incredible disrespect, was arrogant to him, and C.S. Lewis kept taking care of her. Because he didn't take care of her because she was nice. He took care of her because he made a promise. Had nothing to do with her. It had to do with integrity. He made a promise to take care of her. Regardless of how difficult it was, he was going to keep that promise, and he did. A man once went into a store called with a sign, one-hour cleaners. He said, I need these pants done in a hurry. And they said, well, it'll have to be Friday. He said, but you're a one-hour cleaner. He said, no, that's just on the sign. That's not what we do. Right? Isn't that how our lives sometimes are? I got the name Christian on the sign on my life, but it's just a sign. It's not really what I do. So there's no integrity in that. Don't claim the name if you're not willing to live it. Don't claim the name if you're not willing to do it. Or you're just a sign that does something else. The name means nothing without the action. Integrity. All of us need integrity. We need to do what we say and say what we will do. People say, well, Nathan, things like that worked last in the 20th century, right? Last century, last generation. Things like integrity, they worked then, but things have changed. Society's changed. People's changed, right? World's changed. You know how many times that argument's been made? Every generation since the beginning of the world, that argument's been made. Oh, we're different now. Everything's different now. Truth doesn't apply anymore to us. Let me tell you what, the Word of God is just as living, it's just as active, it's just as true today in 2015 as it was in the first century, as it was in the 20th century. Because truth doesn't change, just like that dollar bill doesn't change. It's 100 pennies. Truth doesn't change. It is as real today as it ever has been, and the rules are still the same today as they were in the first century. And the rules are still the same as they're going to be when Jesus Christ appears in the sky one day to take us home. Jesus made a promise. He made a promise to seek and save the lost. He made that promise. And He made that promise before there was a heavens and an earth. Before verse 1 of Genesis 1, He made that promise before the very foundation of the world, Paul told the Ephesians. He made that promise. How would you like, you know, Jesus for 4,000, those 4,000 years between Genesis 1 and the cross, He knew all through that time frame, all those hundreds and thousands of years, He knew that the end of that promise was on a cross, suffering horribly. What if you had years? Let's just take the thousands of years out. What if you had years to know that what was coming for you was a terrible, horrible death? What would you do? You know, Jesus was there in the garden and He said, My soul is distressed to the point of death. Jesus was literally crying out, not just whispering, He was yelling out as He prayed, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. But not My will, but Your will be done." And He let them take Him. He let them beat Him. He let them whip Him with a whip across His back. He let them mock Him. He let them, they never said a word. He didn't say a word when they put Barabbas up as the comparison for Him, right? As the choice. And the people chose Barabbas. They put Him on a cross and nailed Him to it. He spent 6 hours in terrible suffering and pain, and He died a horrible death of suffocation. Why? Because He made a promise. And He kept it. He made a promise to save you. He made a promise to save me, to seek me, to seek to save me. It was all because Jesus made a promise. Showed integrity. He made a promise, and folks, sometimes promises hurt. Sometimes promises come back on us to our detriment, but He made a promise and He kept that promise. Keeping our promises is more than just a nice concept. It may mean that you lose your business. It may mean the loss of things that are precious to you. It may even mean suffering terribly and dying to keep a promise. But you made a promise. And are you going to keep it? Are you going to keep it no matter what? God honors integrity. Do not do as you go out this week as the Jews did. You know, when Jesus was talking to them in the Sermon on the Mount, He said, let your yes be yes and your no be no, and anything more is of the devil. When He was saying those words, this is what He was talking about. The Jews had a book. They literally had a rule book on vows. Now, I'll give you just a few. If you said, "I swear on Jerusalem," according to the Pharisees, you were bound to keep that promise. But if you said, "I swear toward Jerusalem," sounds a lot like it, doesn't it? It's not the same. If you said, "I swear toward Jerusalem," you could just ignore it. You could let it go. If you used God's name, you were bound. But if you didn't use God's name, you weren't. You could get out of it. You know, they could swear by certain things and not be bound. They could swear by certain words and be bound. It was quite the complex little thing about keeping promises. And that's why Jesus says, forget all that. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And anything more, all of this swearing by Jerusalem or swearing toward Jerusalem or swearing by God's name or not by God's name, it's all of the devil. Just mean what you say. So don't tell me, "I swear, Nathan, by a stack of Bibles." I don't care how many Bibles you got stacked up. It doesn't mean anything. Or if I'm lying, I'm dying. I know some people that are still alive well after saying that several times and lying right behind it, right? I don't think that thing has any power. Don't need to hear those things. Just tell me the truth and stand by it. Whatever it is, if you say you're going to be a friend, be a friend. If you say you're going to do something, do it. If you say you're going to give, if you promise God something, keep that promise. If you say you're going to give, give. Do what you say. Whatever you say you will do, do it. God will bless you for it. Theodore Geisel. I bet you don't know that name. Some of you do. Well, his middle name is Seuss. He's Dr. Seuss. He wrote the Dr. Seuss books. Theodore Geisel. 1940, he wrote a book about Horton, an elephant. I know you've seen the movie Horton Hears a Who, right? And that was actually not the first book about Horton. Horton came, that one came 10 years after this one. But he wrote a book about an elephant named Horton, and the book was called Horton Hatches an Egg. Any mamas read that to your children? Horton Hatches an Egg. Well, in the story, there is a bird named Lazy Miss Maisie. And she lays an egg. She doesn't want to care for it. She wants to go on vacation, permanent vacation, to Palm Beach. And so she asked Horton, this elephant, if he would take care of her egg, set on her egg, and hatch it for her until she comes back. And Horton promises that he will. And so you have this tree with this limb and this elephant sitting on it, on the nest. And all kinds of terrible things happen during this time. Miss Maisie, she doesn't ever come back. She's gone. Lazy Maisie, she's gone. And all these terrible things happen while he's sitting there on that nest, hatching that egg. And his friends begin to tell him, Horton, yeah, just give it up. Just go away. Just don't worry. She's not coming back. Just stop this. Get on off that nest. And if you've read the story, you probably know the response, right? He said, I said what I meant. I meant what I said. An elephant's faithful 100%. That's not bad. I meant what I said. I said what I meant. A Christian is faithful 100%. When the moment comes that it is easier to walk away than keep your promise. When the moment comes that it is easier to be unfaithful to God than to be faithful, what will you do? A Christian is faithful 100%. Integrity. I want us to be people of integrity. I want us, everyone here, that when we speak to each other, we can trust what is being said. And I think at the end of the day, if you think about it, we tend to trust people first, don't we? That's our first offer we give to people is trust. We tend to immediately trust people. Trust tends to be something we initially give until that trust is broken. But friends, let me tell you, when that trust is broken, rebuilding it can take a very long time. Do you know how long? I'll give you an example. A husband is unfaithful to his wife. He confesses his unfaithfulness. He ends the affair. He wants to do what is right by his marriage. He makes himself available to her 24 hours a day. He is where he says he will be at any time that she checks on him. Everything is open. Total disclosure. She can see anything and know anything about him at any given moment. She can call him at any time and he will be where he wants to be. That's his effort. Now, if he does that perfectly, if he's always where he's supposed to be, if he's always doing exactly what he says to do, if there is never another thing that would indicate any kind of unfaithfulness, you know how long it'll take before he can walk out the door and the wife won't think maybe he's going to do something he shouldn't? Do you know how long? If it's perfect, a minimum, 3 years. We give trust quick. We don't give it back very easily when it's broken. 3 years, minimum, wasted. If only there had been integrity at the beginning. If only He had done what he said and meant what he said and lived by it. 3 years. You know, if you have broken faith with people, you're going to have to earn that back. It's not given. You have to earn it. It's so much easier to live a life of integrity than to try to get integrity back when you've blown it, right? You're going to have to earn it. And as difficult as that process is, and as long as that process takes, God will help you. Now, God will help you because He knows immediately. He doesn't have to wait 3 years, does He? He sees right down into your heart. So He knows immediately if you're telling the truth. He knows immediately if you're really trying to be a person of integrity. He knows immediately. He's going to help you because He knows immediately, right? So God will help you. He doesn't have to wait that 3 years. And the effort will be tedious and it will be difficult, but God will help. And in the process, it will get worse before it gets better. But in the end, you will say that you have a good life because now you live a life of integrity. I want to beg all of us today to be people who keep our word. To go out of this building and show a world full of lies the integrity that it needs. To be a light and to be salt. To show them a better father than the one they have, right? If you had a father and all he told you was lies, you probably didn't have a very good childhood, did you? Show them a better Father, the Father of lights from whom all blessings come from, the God of heaven. I want to be like Jesus, who suffered and died on a cross to keep a promise to me, to save you. It is very possible that the number one moral failure in our world is the failure to keep our word. Not telling the truth. Maybe that's you. If it is, it might not be easy to change that lifestyle. But you can start today. Right here. Right now. Repent of those things. Confess those things to God. Oh, He will forgive you. He's faithful and just to do that. Begin today. It doesn't matter. Once God has forgiven you yesterday, does it matter only today and every today after that? Will I be a person of integrity today? That's the only day I can be a person of integrity. And tomorrow, when it's today, I will live that day to try to be a person of integrity. Begin today, right here, right now. You know, this morning, if you're not a child of God, you have an opportunity. Jesus made a promise to you. He made a promise to you that He wanted to seek and to save you. That was His promise. He's offered it to you. He kept His promise. He hung on a cross for you. And this morning, you have an opportunity to be a child of God by believing in what He did, believing in Him, confessing Him as the Son of God, choosing to change your life by dying to what you want and living to what He wants. To be buried in baptism, having your sins washed away, to rise, to be a new creature. You know what that is? To make a promise to Him that I promise that you will be my Lord. And keep that promise. If you haven't kept that promise and you are a Christian, begin keeping it today. Ask for His forgiveness. He will take you back. He doesn't wait 3 years, remember? Keep your promise. Today, if you haven't made that promise to God to let Him be Lord, let Jesus Christ be Lord and Savior of your life, make it right now. There's no better time. We stand ready to assist you. As you, once you come, as we stand, as we sing.